All right, if you have your Bibles quickly, let's begin our studies today. Again, we'll read from the book of Isaiah chapter 55. Has become like a text for this series of teachings that we're having on what we called the sayings of God. You know, I like the way, in fact, let's start today from Isaiah and Proverbs chapter 4. That would be a good one. We'll still come to this Isaiah chapter 55, but let's just start from Proverbs chapter 4. He said, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." That's from verse 20. 21 says, "Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The reason is because they are life to those who find them," verse 22, "and health to all their whole body." He now said, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." My son, he says, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. And we have been looking at what we call the sayings of God. Now go back to that Isaiah chapter 55, which has been like the text for these our teachings. And then what we establish from that is simple, that wickedness or righteousness is determined by thoughts. That a wicked man is wicked because of the way he thinks. He said in verse 8, verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." He said, "And let him return to the Lord. How will he return? By changing his ways and by changing his thoughts." That is, how does he think? How does he see the things of life? He said, verse 8 now, he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." He said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be," all right, "which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." What have we seen from this portion of the scriptures? That is, a wicked man or an unrighteous man is known by his thoughts. And returning to the Lord is in changing the way you think. Paul said, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Your viewpoint. How do you interpret the issues of life? How do you see things? That's what decides. That's what differentiates between the successful man and the failure. That's what distinguishes between the man who is a righteous man and the one who is unrighteous. Are you getting my point? And I said that our duties, all right, as Christians, is to learn to think the way God thinks. And when we're talking about the sayings of God, let me just quickly say it. In Hebrew, or the word logos in Greek, refers to both the word and the thoughts of God. I said to you before that when the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, you know that, that what happens was that God was thinking, are you getting my point? He was conceiving. And the eruption from his heart when it was full of the picture of what he wanted to do was what came out, all right? And it was written in Hebrew by Moses as, "Let there be light." Are you getting my point? So the sayings of God and the thoughts of God, they are the same thing. The way by which God transmits his thinking pattern and his thoughts, all right, to you is through his words. That's why you have come here. That's why you left everything you are doing today to be here at this particular point in time. In fact, I heard earlier, I know, because I was somewhere, and they told me that I think two European teams are playing again about this time. And I thought to myself, any man who doesn't come for Bible study today, because two groups of overpaid entertainers are entertaining a crowd, has a mental and spiritual problem. Yes, and I mean that that's not supposed to be a joke. If you ever left this teaching of the word of God to go and get entertained by footballers, you need deliverance. You know, there's a special kind of deliverance that you need. Are you getting my point? Yeah, but because you see your life, he said, "They are life unto those who find them, and health to their whole body." He said, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows forth the issues of life." No matter how much football you watch, it will never affect your destiny. The only way it can affect it is negatively. It can never improve your life. Are you getting my point? It can never heal your diseases. It can never give you hope in the time of failure. It can never give you happiness when life's challenges will come upon you. That's the matter of fact. When the life is not built on the word of God, it's built on other things. It's said to be on shaky ground. It's built on sand. The reason why you take time out to hear God is because you have to dig. And he dug deep and put his foundation upon bedrock. And when the trials of life came, he was not moved. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So why you are here is that you are hearing the word of God, and that's changing the way you think. That's changing the way you see yourself. It's changing the way you see things in life. And what we were saying last time, what we began to do is that last week was to see how God sees us. You know, there are different things that God sees. Or like I said, let me try not to teach in details, but just to talk. Last time, I began to show us how God sees us. Because when the way you see yourself may be different from the way God sees you, and that's why he talks about you, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Quickly, let's read this. It would be interesting just to highlight it again. There are two scriptures we know very well. Jeremiah chapter 1, that's the one we began last time. That's seeing, how does God see me? I said that people have been told since they were young certain things. A lot of parents have corrupted the mindsets of their children by speaking negative words to them all the time. And they don't realize this is affecting the way the child behaves. Last week, one of my sons, I was asking some questions. And I didn't like the way he was answering me. And even though he knew the answers, he was responding with so much hesitancy. We had to go through some rounds of confession of the scriptures. You know, I asked him a question. He said something like, lunch, you know. I'm like, why are you asking? Why are you looking at me for confirmation? You know it. Say it boldly. So I said, what's your name? He said, Gwenga. I said, don't answer me like that. What is your name? He said, Oluwenga. I said, very fine. You are a child of God. You are bold. Are you getting my point? You are not afraid. You are intelligent. Don't let life intimidate you. We were there for a long time. I was saying things. He was repeating them. When he finished, I said, kneel down here now. Let me pray for you. And I put my hands upon him. And look, listen, I do that in my house all the time. Are you getting my point? In fact, I said, look, I told my wife, I have to investigate who is his class teacher. How does the class teacher handle him in class? I told him, if you don't know, you say, I don't know. Be bold in saying, I don't know. And I will correct you. Don't look at me. I mean, I tell you, for example, I said 2 times 2, he said, 4. I said, what nonsense is that? 2 times 2 is 4. You are either aware of it or you are not aware of it. And when you are aware of it, you tell me boldly. Are you getting my point? Yes, you must see yourself with confidence. That's a matter of fact. And that's why I'm going to go on talking about that today, because we can't say that thing enough. All right? I mean, what the devil does is to eat away people's confidence. I told you before that the devil doesn't have the kind of power people claim he has. If he did, he wouldn't do much talking. Are you getting my point? Yes, if he did, he wouldn't do much persuading. If he had power to make people fall, just come and say, Eve, come, eat that fruit. And that's it. Eat to Eve, will go. Say, why? I was under a spell. Are you getting my point? The devil didn't have that power. So he came and said, good afternoon, ma. Are you busy? And she said, no. Can I talk to you for a few moments? And she said, no problem. Are you confused about something? He said, yes. Has God really said that you should not eat? He said, don't go near there. And they were talking and talking. And she said, no, let me give you new information you did not know before. And that's the fact that if you eat it, you will not surely die. Are you getting my point? It was changing her mindset, her thought pattern that made her able to eat that fruit. Do you get my point? And that's what Satan is still doing till today. All the experiences of your life, what he's trying to use them to do is to prove to you that something is wrong with you. Are you getting my point? I mean, he said, last time, you failed. Second time, you failed. What does that tell you? You're a failure. He said, I lie. A righteous man must fail 7 times. And the Lord will still raise him up. I remember when I was in secondary school those days, we operated a different system from where they operate now. There was five classes we had in secondary school. From 1, from 2, and from 3 is when you had to study everything in details. Then once that, you did like 13 subjects. But when you got to from 4, what's an equivalent of SS1 now, you dropped many subjects, and then you focused on whether you wanted to do science, pure sciences, pure arts, or social sciences, you know, stuff like that. Then I was always a good student. But the first term of form 4, I failed physics. Second term, my school introduced AdMath, additional mathematics. I failed physics again and additional mathematics. And a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, he walked up to me and said, well, we're just starting. Since Physics, I didn't pass. Additional mathematics, I did not pass. I have decided that this thing is not for me. So he told me that he was dropping physics and additional mathematics. And he was picking up economics and geography and all of that. And I was discouraged for a moment. And I went and spoke to one of my another of our friends. You know, good enough for me, I couldn't even try that. I had to go home to get permission to drop anything. You get what I say? And we're boarding house. So I went to talk to one of my friends. He's an engineer today. And I told him, I said, look at what this guy said. He said, don't mind him. Have you noticed that our physics teacher does not have two heads? Ah! It was revelation. He said, wow, that's true. He does not have two heads. So I went and told the guy, that man doesn't have two heads. I can do it. And listen to me. Third term, we passed. Next term, we passed. Second term of 50 years, we passed. Third term of 50 years, we passed. It was meanwhile, we had A's in it. It was not an issue. It passed maths, passed physics, passed chemistry, passed all of them, lumped all the passes together. Yes. Are you getting my point? That's what life does. Life, then you fail this one, you fail this one. It means you can't do it. And when you accept it, you start seeing yourself differently from how God sees you. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I mean, quickly, let's read that Jeremiah chapter 1. No, before, okay. Open Jeremiah chapter 1. Before we read it, just keep something there, all right? And quickly go back to Numbers chapter 24. Just to emphasize this thing again. Numbers chapter 13, all right? Sorry. You know the story at Kadesh Barnea? The people went to go and spy the land, and they saw giants. And all right, giants had an opinion of them, and they learned from their own experiences, having been in Egypt for a long time, what their lives are supposed to be like. We are small people. They did not attend to the word of God. So what happened? The Bible says that verse 32, because of time, let me just quickly read that from verse 32. So, from verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him, that is with Caleb and Joshua, all right, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. Now, listen to this. Quickly go down to verse 33. He said, there also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, that is the giants. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. See, it was what they were in their own sight that mattered. Are you getting my point? So they were seeing themselves in a fashion that God did not see them. But if you see, Caleb and Joshua saw differently. What did they say? They, like we studied then, they followed the Lord fully. Can you remember that? They followed the Lord how? Fully. They followed the Lord how? Fully. What did he say? He said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. That was the way they saw themselves. They saw themselves that God is on our side. That's what Joshua and Caleb explained to them. They didn't see themselves alone. They saw themselves with the power of God working with them. When the people came, when the king of Syria sent to go and arrest Elisha, his servant saw only the army and saw against the army just him and his master. So he shouted, alas, my master, what are we going to do? But the master reclined. I can imagine him, assuming he was smoking a cigar, just puffing at his pipe. I'm not saying the man smoked too. I'm just trying to say that, just trying to illustrate. He was just totally relaxed. And the man couldn't understand, why is this man not perturbed at all? And he said, this is my reason. I can see those who are with us, and they are more than those who are against them. Are you getting my point? And for that reason, he had to relax. So when the guy wouldn't relax, he had to pray to the Lord to please open his eyes so he will stop disturbing my peace. Are you getting my point? And when the man had a different perspective, he saw that indeed we are not alone. It may just be my master and I physically speaking, but the amount of angels, warrior angels around the mountain and their chariots definitely are more than those who are against us. So he too, he relaxed. How you attack life depends on how you see yourself. I'm not talking about just psyching yourself up now. I'm talking about seeing yourself from God's perspective. Are you getting my point? Quickly, go back to that Jeremiah chapter 1. This was what we said last time, but we can't say it enough. People must hear it and 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 hear it. All right? Until they believe it. Jeremiah was seeing himself in a particular fashion. But God had a different opinion of his life, of his person, of what he could do and what he couldn't do. And that's what I'm going on about today. God called Jeremiah in verse 1. And sorry, in chapter 1, verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That is, I had my assessment of you. I created you to be in a particular fashion. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And if you understand consecration, you will see it goes with anointing. So he said, this is the anointing. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, he says, because he has anointed me. That's the way it goes. So when God appoints you, there's a spirit he pours upon you. What was Jeremiah's opinion of himself? Verse 6. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because as you can see, I see myself like this. I am a youth. But the Lord said, do not say I am a youth. It's very important what you say with your mouth. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's only a man who has stopped seeing himself as just a youth that can stop saying that I am a youth. Are you getting my point? I mean, Solomon took over as king, everybody saw him as a youth. But he saw himself differently. He knew he needed the power of God, so he went and tapped into God's power. And the wisdom of God was with him. A few months after I took the throne, everybody bowed. Are you getting my point? That's why Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, don't let anybody despise your youth. He may look young to them. He said, this is what you are going to do. You will realize you're a minister of God. Are you getting my point? And you must be an example. See yourself as an example. He said, therefore, be an example. And if you are indeed an example, all right, people will bow before you. That's a matter of fact. They will bow before you. There's something my mother said many years ago. You know, she passed a comment. Let me just say it, by the way. Always do what is right. Don't forget what people are saying. Always do what is right. Because a day will come, they will deny you if you do what is wrong. But the day will also come, if you continue to do what is right, they will come and acknowledge the fact that you were doing what was right. You know, there, of course, most parents are, you know, like, you know, the way it is. I was supposed to go and serve the North. My mother was really, really worried about it. And when she said, what are we going to do? I said, what are we going to do? Oh, this is what we are going to do. I'm going to pack my bag. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to carry the bag, take my call-up letter. I'm going to find my way down to Taraba State. And I'm going to become a very rich and influential man. She was looking like, is this boy or not? All right. So I left the house. Make a long story short. Long after, one day we were talking. She said that, I still remember when you were posted to go and serve in Taraba State. I was so worried. But you have a way of putting people's mind at rest. She did not acknowledge it when the issue was on. It was as if she had the wisdom of age and experience. The Bible said there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Always do what is right. If people are advising you, these are the criteria you use for making the choice in marriage, and it's not the word of God, don't listen to them. You know what I'm telling you? One day, they will come back and tell you that you obviously knew what you were doing. We were the ones that did not know. Because only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. And once you make choices according to the will of God, God takes it upon himself as his responsibility to prove you right. Do you get what I'm going to explain? All right, let me not digress into that too much, all right? So the point I'm making is that Jeremiah saw himself as a youth. God said, no. Solomon, though he was a youth, God, his father had taught him how to handle the matter. And the same thing was what Paul was telling Timothy, all right? Make sure you are an example. Are you getting my point? Don't see yourself as a small boy. Fill yourself with the word of God. Are you getting me? And people will recognize the wisdom of the Ancient of Days that is inside you. Elihu said, there is a spirit in man. I thought the aged should speak, and multitude of years should utter wisdom. He said, but I've discovered that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. If you go and see yourself, you don't say, I'm a small boy. Life will treat you like a small boy. Do you get my point? You know I don't have money. Life will treat you like you don't have money. Look, I have friends that, if I have two of them in my mind as I'm talking right now, all right? One of them is a pastor, the other one is a businessman. My friends. One of them, I used to tell my wife that this man must be rich in life. My wife and I, there are times we actually pray for him. That the way he carries himself, God must lift him to that level. There's nowhere he enters. And like, his shoulder is always square, straight. Talks boldly. Anywhere he goes, he can go to the most expensive hotel in the world as he's entering like this, his shoulder is. And tell the doorman, hey, how you doing? You think he's a billionaire. And when he's passing, that's how he will dip his hand in his pocket. And that's the guy money. You think, I just told my wife, God must bless this guy. in the name of Jesus Christ, he must be rich. I mean, the two of them, these are men that nobody intimidates. You can be a multi-millionaire, they'll talk to you straight like this. Listen to me, and that's how life will treat them. I told that poverty mentality is what real poverty is. It's not the absence of cash. Are you getting my point? You can be poor in pocket, is the will of God. The one God fights is to be poor in mind. To have a beggarly spirit. To have a crawling spirit. A spirit that uses words like we masses. The mekunus of the world. If you speak your Bible, you're not talking about. There are words that should never come from your mouth as a believer. You masses. It's not possible. You? Hey, don't let an angel get commissioned to flog you. No, there are things. It's an evil, Solomon said, I've seen. You see princes calling themselves masses. Children of God saying that we masses. It's an attitude. Are you getting my point? It's not just about being rough and bragging now. No, it's about filling yourself with the word of God. I am a child of a king. I am a child of a king. That's how God sees you. So Jeremiah said, I'm but a youth. God said, don't say it. We spend too much time giving excuses. Like I say, excuses for Satan. Explaining why things can't work. What I'm telling you now, what does God say about you? Let me focus on that. God says, you are not a youth. You are filled with my spirit. I have poured into you the spirit of Christ. Now listen, I told you before, Christ is not just, listen to this, it's not just a person. It's a phenomenon. It's an entity. It's a realm of existence. It's the congregation of all good things that God ever did for anybody. That is, inside the spirit of Christ is the spirit of Joseph. Inside the spirit of Christ is the spirit of Daniel. Inside the spirit of Christ is the spirit of Samson. Inside the spirit of Christ is the spirit of David. That anything that the power of God accomplished in the life of David, it can accomplish in your life if you are of Christ. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That's how it is. That's how it is. And you are in Christ because of your faith in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? You have been born again, not of incorruptible, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. The seed of God dwells in you. Therefore, you can't look at yourself in any fashion other than the way that God sees you. He said you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It does not matter where you came from, naturally speaking, or what you don't have, naturally speaking. So God said to Jeremiah, stop repeating in my ears your excuses. They are called excuses for Satan. I said to you earlier, Satan can't do anything if he can't persuade you about it. Are you getting my point? No, he can't. And what all those dreams you dream at night is part of the discussion. Has God really said that shall make it in life? If you try very hard. He never said if you try very hard. God never said that. Be careful when you are reading. I was reading somewhere, I was reading a book this morning. And I think it was this morning. And I've been reading for a few days. And on top of one chapter, you know, the way he introduced was a quote. He said, anyone who can rise up very early for 365 days of the year will make it in life. I said, it's a lie. That's how I read. If you see me, I read with pen. I put my comment. I said, that's a joke. Forget it. I continue reading. We talk and then I said, my friend, forget it. It is vain for a man to rise up early and to go to bed late. For he gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. So God didn't say, you will make it if you try. No. By the grace of God, you will be what God has made you to be. And his power working towards you will not prove vain. You will labor more than them all. God said, but not you, but the power of God working with you. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me tell you this. I meditated upon it yesterday. I realized it again. You know, but actually what happened was that I was editing a message for TV. And I heard myself say things. I was saying, hallelujah. This is divine truth. God said, occupy till I come. I made a statement that God has a way of occupying people. He keeps you busy. Waiting for God is not idleness. It's occupy with till I come. God, look, there's nothing like there's no job. There is a job. It may not pay half a million naira a year, a month. There's a job. It may not give you money at all sometimes, but there's a job. Each time you must identify what God said you should occupy that season with. And let me tell you something. You know, I was reading this book, Outliers. I've mentioned it a number of times. I'll read it again. And the man said something there. I said, this is so true. The Bible said the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong and all of that. He said, time and chance happens to them all. And in that book, Malcolm Gladwell tried to explain some principles. A lot of it, just, you know, Solomon was wise. Solomon could have written that book. In fact, he wrote that book, Outliers. He did. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes. Everything that man took, those 100 pages, 200 pages to tell, those stories, Solomon wrote it in a few verses. Time and chance happens to them all. That's it. And he explains something. He describes some people there, some lawyers, all right? Who, because, you know, in fact, he made a statement which was, it was so interesting to me. He said that these men did not become great despite their disadvantages. He said, no, they became great because of their disadvantages. And he explained that because they wouldn't give them the plum jobs, listen to this, the tush-tush jobs of those days. Said one guy was so intelligent, everybody interviewed him, said this guy is too good. By the time he saw the biggest boss, the man said, you know, we can't employ a man from your background. So the man was forced to go to the next level where they dropped the crumbs from the master's table. The jobs that the big lawyers wouldn't take, he had to take it. So he was doing litigation, he was doing takeovers, he was doing things that the other big, big guys wouldn't touch. Then the seasons of life changed. Time and chance happened to them all. Then by the time the seasons of life changed, it suddenly came to be that those kind of cases that those big men wouldn't take was what people like him, was what the world now needed. And he was exercised in it, having done it for over 10,000 hours, according to his own principle in that book. Time and chance. Because he was exercised. In fact, if you read the book, it might explain something very interesting. That the Jews did well, the Eastern European Jews, when they emigrated to the U.S., because where they were coming from, they were not allowed to farm. They didn't own land. So they were forced to learn skills that did not depend on the land. But when they got to the New World, those were the skills that made them multimillionaires. Those who were allowed to farm moved to the New World and remained poor. Those who were allowed to own land, their descendants moved to the New World and had nothing. Are you getting my point? Occupy until I come. What am I saying? God will give you a skill. The problem is, oh God, let me quickly drop this one in. I've noticed something. There's one material I'm going to write shortly, titled The Error from Revelations. What do I mean? We have misinterpreted the book of Revelations as if it's a book for the end time. Meanwhile, we are walking in the errors inside it and not know. What am I trying to explain? One of the major problems why people don't occupy properly is because they have taken the mark of the beast. They are walking with the world. And they are waiting for the breeze to manufacture a microchip. What am I saying? By being covetous, by being money-minded, by allowing the world to teach them what to do and what not to do, they are leaving the place of occupation that God has given them. So that when God now comes to break through, they are not found there. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, you are not inferior. That's what I'm trying to explain. God will keep you occupied each time so that by the time your in quote time comes, you will be ready. Go and listen to that series again. The doctrine of the appointed time. I explained that in there. God has created, listen, in you, you have the spirit of Daniel and the spirit of Joseph put together. That's part of the Christ spirit. And he's saying, exercise yourself in this until I come. You have no business envying somebody who got a job where they pay him 200,000 naira and two of you are classmates. So what? Life is not an accident. God used a few events over the last few weeks to prove to me that, listen, I am watching over you carefully. The other day, I had a small accident in the house. Part of my house caught fire. All right. Later on, I was discussing with Yinka, but there was a way people, you know, people, fire was put out and all of that. It was my little boy who decided to go and play with fire. It was a potentially great, grave situation. Everybody was excited. You know what I mean? Excited, like, praise God, do Thanksgiving. My mother said she would do Thanksgiving at home. My mother-in-law said she would do Thanksgiving at home. Everybody wants to do Thanksgiving. I told Yinka, you know why I'm not so excited? I said, why are you excited? Because they think this is a one-off thing. I said, I'm not so excited because God has used this and something that happened about 4 days before that to prove to me I'm watching over you all the time. So that for me, it was not a one-off thing. I suddenly realized that God is actually watching over me continually. So I'm giving him thanks. I'm not saying I didn't appreciate that. But I'm realizing that everywhere I move, he's there. Everywhere I go, he's there. He prepares my path. He prepares my ways. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? And I'm telling that's the same thing about your life. Your life is not an accident. If that job was necessary for you, you would have gotten it. That's what I'm trying to explain. If it was necessary for you, you would have gotten it. You don't ever walk around looking as if you are disadvantaged. For what? I told you my story years ago. I finished my youth service in 1993. By many events, God moved me to Lagos. Now, I never wanted to go to Lagos. If you know the kind of person where I be, I'm a true prophet, according to Bishop Oyedepo. Now, that prophets always live in quiet areas in the outskirts of the cities. So when they it's not my life. Are you getting my point? So I didn't understand how people live in that kind of place. And God knew it was necessary for me to go there. So he moved me through many events to get me to be there. Along the line, I had to settle. So, well, let me not bore you with too many details. But I told the story that once I came for my annual convention, and my friend Chooks, as I arrived at the convention venue, he said, "Hey, Black!" That's what he calls me. From a distance, as soon as he saw me. He said, "I hear you are the only jobless doctor in Nigeria." Why did he say that? For many months, this young doctor didn't have to get a job. I'm telling you. I will try and work here, nothing. I will try and work here, nothing. I applied for residency, nurses went on strike. The hospital shut down for 8 good months or so. Hey. I remember one day there was a particular hospital, the MD interviewed me. He asked me a particular question about making a diagnosis of for those of you who want to know, typhoid fever, all right? And the common practice which people do this, they just go and say, "Come and do tests, I have fever." Then they now say, your titer is high. Say, "You have typhoid." You know, it's all bothered. That Sharon nonsense. That thing is a lie. It's a scam. That between the people who are doing the lab thing and the people sending the drugs, it's just a scam. All right? Nonsense. So he just asked me that question. So I told him that, well, I didn't know why he asked. But I said, well, from where I come from, that's my school. I just quoted my lecturer that we're taught that this is not how it is done. If he had to do this, I gave him the proper thing that's supposed to be done. And he looked at me and said, "You must have gone to a good school." He was impressed because most young doctors have told him the crap that people practice. I gave him the right thing. The man was so impressed that everybody that came after him, they told the people that no, they've employed the doctor they needed. Except the day I came to start work, something happened, they changed their minds. Are you getting my point? And I remember then, as I was leaving the place, I went with my cousin's car. As I was leaving, I remember very well. I looked out of the window and I said, "Lord, I hold you personally responsible for taking this job." That's what I said. I said, "Lord, I hold you personally responsible." I could see the hand of God say, "Banky, not now." And what did I do with the time? You've heard the story several times. All I did was read, listen to messages. That's all I did. I went from one conference to the other. That's when I tell you stories of Ron Kenoly. It was my moving around that I met Ron Kenoly, came to Lagos to come and preach. I went everywhere I saw a poster, I'll copy it down. I was JJC in Lagos. I went everywhere listening to the gospel. And believe me, that's the foundation of what I do till today. These days I'm extremely busy. I look back, sometimes I'm afraid that God, what if I had used Ogboju? It's not a lie. I claim it. I Sometimes I'm almost afraid. I did Bishop Oyedepo alone. I remember I did over 500 hours of only him in about 8 months. And that was not the only person I listened to. I've not counted my Miles Monroe, the Kenneth Hagin, the other people I listened to that season. The books, that was my hobby. My mother once said that, your auntie said, that's my cousin actually. Yeah, she's much older than me. But your auntie said that you use all your money to buy tapes. I said, I'm happy she said all my money, not all her money. It's my money. And then my sister said to her, but mommy, these things are cheap compared to the medicines I'm taking right now, because she was very sick that time. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That this, it was that season. I look back now, then, you know, it, once in a while, I say, if that season had not occurred, believe me, you wouldn't be here today. Why am I saying? God knew that that season had to be. Everybody was getting job and making money. I remember one of my colleagues that time, he worked all his life to pay for one small little car. And I swore by Almighty God that I would never do it. There was one revelation Bishop Oyedepo gave that stuck in my head. That it can catch fire and thieves can steal it. So do not labor for that which perishes. Cars perish. Since then till now, I have not labored for one. All other things are added. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's how God sees you. So don't look at yourself as you are disadvantaged. No, your life is planned. God said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. I arranged you. Are you getting my next thing? It's when people depart from following God that problems begin. Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen, I'm telling you how God sees you, how God sees me. And we must look at life the way God sees us. That's what is called righteousness. Righteousness is not dancing in church. Any man can dance in church. Church these days is sometimes a glorified disco zone too. Yes, the music is good. And I found that in the soul of human beings, there's music. And there's rhythm. How do I know? Never seen small picking before. Who teaches them how to dance? Once they start hearing to the game. So you dance in church does not mean anything. It just means you're alive. That's not righteousness. Giving of offering is not necessarily righteousness. If somebody pokes you and pricks you and moves you and shakes you, eventually the money will drop. That's not necessarily righteousness. Righteousness is what? A mindset. How do you reason? How do you think? That's how you exercise yourself in righteousness. Changing your own thought patterns for God's thought patterns. And first and foremost, like we began last week, it's about you. Are you getting my point? Listen to me. You were created for a purpose. That's what God is saying. That you are not an accident. You were created for a purpose. And when I was creating you, I packaged a particular grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. What is the grace of God? It's the power working towards me that does not prove in. In that it makes me effective in certain things that other people are not effective in. The major problem with life is that people want to be effective in other people's jobs. He said, my brothers made me keep their vineyard. My own vineyard I have not kept. God has a vineyard for every person to keep. You know, I was thinking the other day, when we'll talk about that later, about ministry matters. I discovered that what we call pastors these days is not even what the Bible calls pastors. Pastor today is an administrative position. No, in the Bible, it's a calling. He says the head of a church is a pastor. It's not in the Bible. An elder. Any elder can head the church. Any elder. Can be an apostle, can be a layman, can be anybody. When it's an elder that's skilled, are you getting my point? In the word of God, that's skilled in managing life. There's what he called, what I'm trying to bring out is that sometimes people say, because I'm a pastor, I must go inside the church and be the general overseer and the administrator. And they are not skilled in that. I was talking to a friend of mine a few days ago. He's a pastor, all right? Modern day pastor, you know? So a real pastor and a modern day pastor. You get my point? In the church. That the major problem most churches have is that the pastors are very poor administrators. Because they don't have the skill there. They're trying to excel in somebody else's job. They won't leave the job for somebody who is skilled in administration to do. And you go and give yourself the ministry of the word and prayer. Everybody has a skill. That's what I'm coming to. In business, the same thing. People are jumping up and down for that which makes money. For that which makes money. For that which makes money. I was discussing with my wife a few days ago. I said, listen, Whatever you want to do, money must not be the first. You first ask yourself, what do I really want to do? What do I really want to do? I was reading the book you gave me, Olayinka, Robert Kiyosaki talking, that his rich father told him, invest for cash flow, never for capital gains. And then capital gains was making him a lot of money. But he disciplined himself and turned around and did what his rich dad said. Over time, he understood why the man said it. All those who were going the other way suffered, but he did not suffer. Are you following the point I'm making? Listen, you have your skill. It may not be the time for your skill to manifest and be big. Now, you must never focus on bigness and you get my point. And their wealth, popularity. There are people who look and say, what's wrong with Nigeria, young man? Can you imagine? Is it Gutenberg or Resenberg? What's the name of the guy on Facebook? Zuckerberg. That is only 25 years old or 21 years old or 26. I don't know his age. You too. I said, listen to me. I ain't writing Facebook for nobody. Are you getting my point? I'm going to preach the gospel of Christ. That's my job. If he makes $1 billion, it doesn't make him more successful than me. Are you getting the point I'm going to make? I'm not going to learn how to write software just because one small boy is a multi-billionaire counting in dollars. Then remember, then people say that you buy your son football. I said, for what? I said, because JJ Okocha is making money. I said, around nonsense. Let my son not read his book. I'll flog him thoroughly. I will buy him football because it's good for children to play. I don't want him to be a footballer. If he turns out to be a good footballer, well, we'll leave it like that. But it is not, you know, and by the time these boys are growing up, nobody's going to pay any Nigerian footballer like that. Things change. I'm not beside the cost anybody, but now so it be. Life, they change. Yes, life changes. Life changes. Life changes. I was analyzing the other day. I said, listen, Bill Gates will soon not be the richest man in the world. Anyway, he's wise. He's already left all those things. Analyze some things. Let me not go into it now. Life changes. Life changes. The point is this. Life changes. And God has set your own time and your season in his hands. Do you get the point I'm making? Imagine that Bill Gates had run to where they were drilling oil because young boys working in oil companies are making a lot of money. And for your information, there are many Bill Gates that went that way. What am I saying? You have a special enablement. You have a special grace. You are not inferior to anybody. I'm telling you how God sees you. He looked at Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I'm but a youth. He said, forget that one. I will put my word in your mouth. Are you getting my point? Anywhere I tell you to go, go there. Anything I tell you to say, say it. I will make you so strong, anybody that fights against you will fall just because of you. That is when God sees Jeremiah, he doesn't see a small boy who's weak. He sees a man of God called, anointed, known before he was formed, from his mother's womb, called to be a prophet to the nations. That's what God sees. Quickly, let's read this one again. How does God see you? I'm saying that God sees his ability in you. That's what I'm trying to explain. That is, you have the ability of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace. Grace is not just a God try for me. No. Grace is God's power walking towards you. Isaiah said it like this, Isaiah chapter 49. Because of my experiences. Now, this is what God made me to be. Let's start from verse 1. So listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. He has also made me a select arrow. Now, this is what my experience is telling because of time. He said in verse 4, but I said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. He said, yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now says the Lord, see, this is God's viewpoint of this man. All right? The man said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. He was seeing himself as what? A failure. A man who tries and does not accomplish. But this was what God said about him. This was what God was seeing in him. He said, and now says the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him in order that Israel might be gathered to him. That was what I was thinking that all I was supposed to do. He said in verse 6, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel alone. I will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Now, let me just stop there. Now, let us read verse 7. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nations, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes shall also bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, because of the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. He said, in a favorable time I have answered you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages. He said, I have made you a blessing, so blessed that you will be a blessing. I'm just adding that one to qualify what he has said. What am I saying? A man is describing himself as a failure, and God is describing him as something bigger than what he has ever seen. Do you get the point I'm making? Gideon saw himself as a failure, a small man, a hiding man. But God looked at him and said, that is a valiant warrior. A man who will turn around the captivity of Israel. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's how God sees you. That's how he sees me. He says, I have poured the grace into you. The problem, there are a number of problems. Number one, either the time is not ripe. That's why you've been feeling like a failure. Like Isaiah here was prophesying. Either the time is not ripe. Or two, you are running a race that's not your own. Every car that tries to cross the Atlantic, you know where it's going. Are you getting my point? I have tried to swim. I've tried to float. It's not working. Why should it work? You're not a boat. You're a car. Are you getting my point? Listen, you know, if you fill your heart with this thought that you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you will interpret failure differently. There are those who look at failure that this is a sign that I failed. I'm a failure. Don't ever forget, righteous man fails how many times?
Seven times.
And for information, if you read the scriptures well, if he decides to stay there 70 times, 7 is in just for 24 hours. That's what Jesus said. Are you getting my point? Are you getting my point? I like the way somebody said it, just because you sleep in a garage doesn't make you a car. Yeah, you can. I've seen people living in garages. They didn't become cars. In the morning, they'll still wake up. Are you getting my point? They lock you in a poultry, doesn't make you chicken. Yeah. Even if they feed you with feed. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So experiences don't dictate what you are. That's what I'm going to explain. It doesn't. It can't. What dictates what you are is what God says you are. And I'm telling you what he says about you. He said, you have ability. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Listen, what he says is that, you know, this is what I like to tell students all the time, or anybody, not only students, anybody who's learning anything, you can understand it. Now, listen, that's the starting point. Listen, let me sit there again for a moment. You should never be afraid of book. He will say, this book, now human head, you go enter. Say yes. Once it comes out of human head, through human hand onto paper, it can enter my head. Are you getting my point? You know, have you ever seen, you know, deep mathematics? It'd be like a small picking, just scratch, 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 and it has meaning. It doesn't intimidate me at all. In fact, it pains me once in a while that I don't give attention, because when I was in secondary school, those days, I loved mathematics. You understand? I loved it. But of course, the way life went, studied medicine and all of that, I didn't have to do it. So once in a while, I say, it just pains me. I say, this thing, I can know it, no big issue. At least, there's no learning that scares me, even though I've never learned it before. That's what I'm going to explain. You know why? It's simple. There's what is called the Spirit of Christ. Part of it is the Spirit of Daniel. And when they give them all the learnings of the Chaldeans, all the learning of Babylon, all those learning, you know what happened? They learned it. That is, they came from foreign nations who learned it and were found 10 times better than their classmates. It's a spirit. It's not struggle. You can't force yourself to remember. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's not as if I've made up my mind, I'm going to remember this. If you have forgotten it, you have forgotten. In fact, sometimes you so forget, you don't even know you forgot something. You know, there are kinds of forgetting that you so forget, you are not even aware you forgot something. Daniel didn't struggle. Can you struggle to dream? No, think about it. Can you struggle to dream of the future? There's no method. That's one problem we have these days in Pentecostal preaching. We think there's a key. You press this button, you God will dream you the dream of your future. There's nothing like that. What am I saying? Daniel didn't become, because it's the same grace. Because what God did was that he made Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah. He gave all of them intelligence. They were able to understand. They were 10 times better than the other people. They now gave Daniel the ability to interpret dreams. I'm bringing an issue here. All of them are gifts. You get my point? Just that he did not struggle to be able to interpret dreams. He did not struggle to know book. You understand what I'm saying? Therefore, it's not about struggling. It's about accepting. I'm not here to teach you the method of reading by which you will not forget. Read with a bad method. You still won't forget. I didn't hear an amen. Read in Arabic, you will remember. You know, reading from the right to the left. In any language, in whichever method you choose to read, you will remember. Why? It's part of the Spirit of Christ. It's an endowment. And when God sees you, that's what he sees. One of my children that have endowed with the Spirit of Christ, and inside that, the Spirit of Daniel. If you are around on Tuesday, we prayed about these things. If you're not around, get the message, because we know the prayer is recorded just like that, so you can pray with us in your house also. We have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God. What am I going to explain? They will have told me when you were young, say, you don't know anything. I saw you, they forget. Anytime you want to, when somebody's talking like this, that voice starts rising up. Say, pastor doesn't understand my situation. That evil voice, I command it to disappear from your ears in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, you have to accept what God says. The spirit of Daniel is your portion. You can understand, you can retain, you can recall. Period. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That's what you need to do. Once you say amen, it enters into you. One day somebody will look at you and say, wait, are you the same person? Like I said on that Tuesday, there are people that have failed 3 times once to enter university, and they will become renowned professors in this country. Because of the Spirit of Christ. You are getting what I'm saying? Jeremiah said, but the youth God said, shh, zip your mouth. When you were an embryo, I made you a prophet. So your age now, what difference does it make? there was one small boy in Nigeria that does this. I wonder where he is now. He used to preach with fire. And when they sent to lay hands on people, they would carry him on the neck. He was a real small boy, 6 years old. And not a joke, once he starts touching people, he's on somebody's neck. So the boy will say, I want to know who's going to carry me. That's it. I'm going to pray for people. Who's going to carry me? Because he was 6 years and he was ministering to adults. That's what God was telling Jeremiah. I anointed you as an embryo. Now that you're a teenager, I never try. Do you follow what I'm saying? What are we doing? We are seeing ourselves the way God sees us. He said you were born not of the will of flesh, but of the will of God. You were born of an incorruptible seed. That is not a bad seed. A seed that cannot be spoiled. No, I'm emphasizing that. A lot of people believe that intelligence is genetic. I don't care. That's what God is saying. I don't care. And Peter Daniels is our good modern day example. I said before, the cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11 has not closed yet. You can add to it any day. Peter Daniel was brain stupid. That's what his teacher said. As a boy, he grew up and he failed and failed and failed. And he was always failing. But after he learned by attending the Billy Graham crusade what God had made him in Christ Jesus, the man, this is the interesting part. After that, he still had a lot of failures, but he just did not accept that he was a failure. All those failures became learning processes. That's all they became, learning processes. How it will work, how it will not work. Then finally, I mean, I said this is a man who said, I've forgotten now, I used to quote the figure, but he had read over 3,000 biographies. Reading. This is a man who they say had dyslexia. What is dyslexia? A man may not be able to differentiate between A and E. He's seeing it too. He doesn't know the difference between A and E. It's an inherent disorder. But I'm saying whatever it is, there's a problem. He said, even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Amen. So the brain is subject to dyslexia because of sin. Yet the spirit will give it good understanding because of righteousness. So what happened to the man? He became so good that one day a company paid him $1 million to talk to them for 10 minutes. And in case you think he was just fooling them, they made $100 million from that conversation. That's how God sees you. He doesn't see a failure. Sometimes I look at young boys on the road. Maybe this guy's an organizer, he has a small shop. I said, the problem this child has is that Satan has blocked his brain. That's all. Because he's saying that in his family, you know, they saw the Bible calls hewers of wood and fetchers of water. They are those that in their brain. Sometimes you know these beggars on the road. I want to collect all those children from them. Sometimes, you know, I don't have the powers, but, you know, I mean, like government, I just say, okay, I love Americans. Even American down now, no problem. You can beg if you want. They take those children and take them to foster homes. Because you are teaching this child that I'm inferior. It's not what the beggars do to themselves that's my problem. It's what they do to those children. It's quick money. For your information, they make a lot of money. They make a lot of money. This is Nigeria. Beggars make money in Nigeria. But it's a problem. Their children will be beggars. They will always be beggars. The beggar can make a million once. He's a beggar, he's still a beggar. When a hardworking man is talking, he can never talk. Every little child will talk down at him. Why? Because he's a beggar. Like I said to people, with all the respect that you have learned from the word of God or from your parents or from your culture, how many beggars have you seen and told good morning? Good morning, sir. You see the man, he's 60 years old. Excuse me. And you're a nice guy. That's what happens to people. So they come to life. They have this mentality. After all, I have gotten a school cert. I don't try. It's in the bottom of their heart. Why? Because in the whole village, nobody has it. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. What God came to do in Christ Jesus is to remove that nonsense barrier from your mind and from mine. That is, we are not satisfied. You know, I told you, contentment and complacency, they are two different things. They may look alike, but they are two totally different things. Complacency is when a man is content in the place of inferiority. He's short of God's glory, but it's okay with him. God has made him a prophet to the nations. He preaches only to his immediate family and is happy. After all, somebody's listening to me. Finally, you are getting what I'm going to explain. There are many people, listen, the reason why they won't do well in life is because of the job, a good job that they have today. It locks them in. They start, he had never seen 150,000 naira in a month. He has never seen it before or heard of it. Now it's his portion. What he doesn't ask himself is who's paying the money. He's not a human being, not a spirit. And the man who's paying it to him, he's paying him as one of the junior people. He's also paying it to bigger people. That is paying much more to bigger people. Been begging and begging and begging. God, I want a job. I want a job. Me too. I hear my friends. I get 200,000 a month. What's this all? Stop insulting me. But why can't be quiet? In the acceptable year when I will answer this prayer, you We pay your driver that amount of money. Because you wonder, how can a man survive on lower than that? That's what Christ is doing for us. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. I tell you, one of the major reasons why black people were behind was because they lacked the ability to think big. Yes. When a man counts 50,000 tubers of yam, he's rich. Yes. Those days, you harvest 50,000 tubers in one season. Now lie. You are the next igwe of that village. So even if they had the ability to, they didn't see the need to cultivate hectares of land and have combined harvesters and have mechanized farming. There was no need, because Satan, sin, he said, all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Sin does not allow people to think big. That's why we mustn't forget it. You have been forgiven. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
When God looks at you, he said, I have washed this one with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I told you before, let me say it again. Some people may think it's just good preaching. It's not good preaching. When they stand through the blood of Jesus, God cannot decipher who is Mary, the mother of Christ, and who is Rahab, the harlot. For Catholics, my apology. If you're a Catholic, my apology, sorry. Yes. You can't conceive of that. But that's Christianity I'm telling you about. The blood of Jesus is so potent and powerful that it washes Rahab. And God does not know who is Rahab, who is Mary. Better accept that. He's able to save to the uttermost anyone that will draw near to God by him. That's what he does. That's what God does. That's when it was aligning genealogy. You know, that's why, you know, because of those who don't, the other day I was telling my wife about the Immaculate Conception of Mary. I know most Catholics don't even know the meaning of the word Immaculate Conception. I've not ever met a Catholic that knew it. That is, those who I've talked to in recent times. They always get confused. They see College of Immaculate Conception. I said, what's Immaculate Conception? They say, it's the conception of Jesus Christ. I said, no. You don't know Catholic theology. Catholic theology says that Mary was born without original sin. That's why it's called Immaculate Conception of Mary. Because they felt that for you to be able to carry such a holy child, you understand my point, you needed to be born without sin yourself. And one brother analyzed, he said that for you to carry that one, he said that theory has to keep on going backward until it gets to Eve. What am I saying? The angel said, Hail Mary, full of what? Grace! Not of works. Full of what? Grace. The power of God working in you. You are getting what I'm saying? Forget about your past. Forget about what you did or did not do. God doesn't know which one. Because once you come in, that's why I say, listen, you know, we're talking about the seeds of faith. We're talking about the light, the habit, that faith as a habit. We're not discussing it, all right? The practice of faith. I talked about it. That's why you don't hold on, because once you hold on to your good works in Christianity, automatically your bad works stick with you also. Because works is works. Are you getting my point? If you hold on to good works, bad works will be accounted. That's why I talked about mercy triumphing over judgment. Two men went to pray. One said, I pay tithes of everything I have. Most Pentecostals today are Pharisaical prayers. They pray like Pharisees. I can't say that thing enough. It's arrant rubbish, absolute balderdash, crap, for you to walk up before God and say, this is my checkbook. You can see the stubs. It's for the preaching of the gospel. This was my tithe for January. This is the offering for February. This is the first fruit in March. Second fruit in April. God, you will bless me. Because the little I've given you, I'm going to collect it back. He said, Hail Mary, full of what? Grace. We don't come to God by works. We reject the good works and the bad works. You were a habitual cheater. That was then. This is now. I declare to you that you have been forgiven.
Amen.
He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of his benefits, who forgave all your iniquities. You are getting what I'm trying to explain? If Rahab shows up again today, she will marry the best husband in the world and have children. You can. When you see them, you will be confused. They will be so fine. And unbelievers will not say, I don't trust that girl. She used to be a harlot. I like what Don Oduze Jr. said. He said, if anybody says, I know that man, he said, they only know his past. They don't know what he is today. They don't know what he will be tomorrow. They are talking from previous experiences. And if any man, any woman, any person is in Christ, that fellow is a new creature. All things are passed away. You need to buy a mirror. You need to buy a mirror and read these scriptures to yourself. Carry a Bible. You know, I told you, you are the most important prophet you will ever meet. You come out in the morning. If I dress up nicely, hello, good morning. Soul, listen to me. You are in Christ. You are a new creature. Old things are passed away. All your bad works passed away. All your good works, they don't pass away. You are now only in Christ Jesus. Anything that God will do for Christ is what he will do for you. Anything he will do through Christ Jesus is what he's going to do in your life. You are going to fulfill everything he created you to be. You are not an accident. You talk to your soul like that a few times in the morning. Telling you, and you come out, air will change color. Believe me, that thing is not supposed to be a joke. I remember there's a certain set of messages I had at the time. I was sharing with some of my friends. I said to them, I remember one sister I saw went for a wedding. I said, I'm going to send you some messages. I said, when you finish listening to them, you will come out and the air will literally change color. And I said that sounded like a joke. But actually, I said it because that was the kind of experience I had then. When I used to listen to Bishop Oyedepo's Supernatural Living Series, I would finish listening to the message, I would come out. There used to be like a tint in the air. I used to walk with such confidence. Honestly, looking in my face, you would think I was a billionaire, physically speaking. You think this man just parked his Lexus at home, decided to trek to the market. With the confidence to take my steps. They looked to him and they were radiant. And their faces were no longer ashamed. You need to get a mirror. A big one. Put it out there. And say, my soul, listen, you are not disadvantaged at all. What you call the disadvantage is the very reason you are going to succeed. I like the way Pastor Paul described it. Pastor Paul Adefaras, he came home from UK. Now, listen to this. A man who schooled, he went to university in the United States of America. So it's not as if, you know, they said that if you have left the country before, getting visa for you will be easy. Then after that, he worked in UK as a pastor. You know, many stories of his life, but he had lived in the UK for some time. Then he came home one day and wanted to go back. He went to renew his visa and they refused. Ah. Not a joke. Hey, do you get my point? Listen, if in a bank account, all he needs to do is bring his father's property. His father's name alone should get a visa. He went to the place. Not a joke. Look at my passport. And I used to live in America. Are you both blind? Said, no. I've been in this UK for some years. They're not going to give him. Now the man said, okay. Now I call prayer meeting his mother's sitting room. That prayer meeting his mother's sitting room is what is called House on the Rock churches today. That's the story. I've not embellished it. Prayer meeting. Guys, let's gather here and we pray. From there he will preach. Then finally people began to gather. They moved to one place. From there to Latin G House. From Latin G House to Museum Center. From there they are moving to their... Look, listen. And TRF, there's the Rock Foundation, fellowships all over the place. Churches everywhere. Because somebody denied a visa. Are you getting what I'm explaining? There are those who say, rebuke the visa officer. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost fires upon your eyebrow. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost fire. If you shall fire, people not born, go house. This one is of God. Yeah. Somebody shout, Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. God said, you want me to burn myself? Eh? That's what some people, they could be shouting fire for the path to your destiny. Yeah, get on the next bit. So, some of the things you call disappointments is the very reason this world will know you came. You get the point I'm making? The same places where you applied for a job, one day they will fill form to talk to you. That's not good preaching. It's a matter of fact. Yeah, it's a matter of fact. It's a matter of fact that is, there was a place you wanted to work once. And in fact, I don't know how the details of this gist. But there was a man in Nigeria. I think I know who they are talking about, but because I'm not very certain, I won't give you the name. He was working in a place one day, and he discovered that the white man and him were being paid different salaries, and they were doing the same job. So he went and told his boss. And the boss told one long story. He said, "Na lie, I no go agree. In this country, anyway, the courage I vex, he resigned." The part of the gist is that I don't know whether it's that he bought the company or I can't remember the details. That's where I'm going to. And one day say, "Hey, these people, you were discriminated against me one time. Now, all of you will bow down at my feet." These things happen every day. I will give you names, but I'm not very sure of the details of the gist. So when I tell you that the places where you apply for a job, the MD one day will fill a form to talk to you. I don't mean as a joke. And I don't mean you'll be a governor. There are governors. That's separate. I mean from the excellence and the progress that will have come from the works of your hand, he will need a form to talk to you. That's the time you start looking back and laughing at the day they want you look for a job here and they not agree. 50th anniversary of Johnson Publications, Ebony. And it was 50th or 40th, one of the anniversaries when the man was old. He made a speech. He said, "Today I want to thank three people who made it possible for me to be the sole owner of Johnson Publications today." That is, three people who made it possible for me to be the sole owner. How did they do it? He said, "Because if they had given me the money I asked for then, I would have been holding 25% of the shares today. I asked them for money and they refused. So I want to thank them today for refusing 50 years ago." He didn't mention their names. But he had this idea to start a magazine that would give black people, you know, courage. That would tell the black man that you are not actually down. Good things have come out from your midst. You can be great. That was his concept. And everybody said, "It won't work. It won't work. It won't work." He finally had to use his mother's furniture to borrow money to get the thing started. By the time he was making this speech, the company was worth close to $1 billion. I think then it was about 800 and something million US dollars in calculated value. And he was thanking people that made it possible for him to be the sole owner. Why? Because they refused him the money that he asked them for. One day I prayed a prayer. I prayed to preach in the church. I said, "May you not have money to start your business." They didn't get my point. I said, "May everybody you approach say no." Ah! See, we can't curse. "Pastor, how can we bring this guy to come begin curse us this morning?" They didn't know it was a prayer. I was praying. Many of the monies you get free will put you in trouble. They will. But there's a systematic working with God, which is spiritual labor, by which we increase it. And that way, it can never depart from you. And every time I hear that somebody lost money, ruined him in business, ask my wife, I've never believed it. You can't ruin a business if you built it properly from losing money. You can't. You can't. All that one that you ruin because you lost money is because you use money to start it. You don't have the business yet. And that's why it was ruined. The loss of money is just a manifestation of the fact that it's not there. If you build it properly, systematically, what will happen? I mean, remember the story when they said J.T. Edson, Thomas Edison, his factory then was worth $2 million of not yesterday's dollars, of many, many years ago. When Bo came to console him, he said, that's a small thing. He said, all our mistakes of the past have been burnt off. Now we can start afresh, anew, on a clean slate. A man saying that, he would say he was talking by faith. He was trying to, it wasn't courage, it was knowledge, understanding. You burn the factory, so what? All the knowledge I gathered in building the factory, you couldn't burn it. You could not burn it. You couldn't burn it. You lose money, business goes down, you won't lose clients. I don't know what I heard him say. Because if you had a relationship, they won't go away because you lost some money. If after many years you don't have loyal clients, you never built a business. So I pray that they say, all the money you are looking for to start, may you not get it. If you were looking like, which can cost me this one? I came to bless you, I didn't come to curse you. I'm sure that was a prophetic word for somebody that day. If I was reading the woman, I think it was Robert Kiyosaki, also explaining the age. That, look, these days, money is not cash anymore. It's knowledge. It's what you know. It's what you know. Stop hiding behind, I don't have money. I hear you say that. Hey, I don't have money to do my business. I don't have money to do my... Just know you don't have business to do. Yes. If only I had money. Just know you have no business to do. If you have business to do, you will see business to do. You will do that business, money or no money. I don't know why I'm preaching like that. Somebody asking a question in his heart, maybe. But that's wrote to the story. He went and told somebody, I can do this job for you. The person gave him, they negotiated. They agreed on a price. He didn't have a computer and he needed one. He had nothing. So when they finished haggling, they agreed on a price. He now told the man, do you mind if I give you, is it 15% or 20% discount? The man like, what? After all this talk, you still want to give me discount? He said, no, there's a deal. I will do the work in your office using your computer. That's it. That's how he bought, in quotes, a computer for that job. Someone will go and say, hey, I just need money. I need someone to lend money to buy a computer now. No, what he needed was sense. God breathed in him an inspiration. And that's it. There's one trick I used to say, who does it, the days of night browsing. I said, why do you need to buy a computer when you want to start a business you don't have yet? Just go and browse at night. Sleep during the day and browse at night. You didn't know what you are doing there. No need to type. I'll make PowerPoint. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm saying? There's some of the things you call disadvantages. You will tell the story one day and you'll be laughing. I mean, when John Johnson was telling his story, it was a joke. 50 years after, it was a joke. As a believer, you must never despair. God doesn't see you as a failure. And you know what we are doing? We are casting that imagination, saying things that are negative, as against what God is saying into your life. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we are taking it down. Are you getting my point? So, let's summarize it. In Christ Jesus, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Amen. You are not a sinner, are you? No, you are not. You have been forgiven, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? That means, therefore, you are no longer short of God's glory. That means you can become anything. 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 And you rearrange your interpretation of events in life. You say, if you had come, you would have given me the job. Say, I didn't come because it's not my job. Mine is bigger and better. That's why I miss it. Regret. And nonsense. It doesn't happen. I remember once, I crossed the road in Lagos. I didn't know that part of the road was two-way. There's a way it was in Yaba. So, I had my colleague. So, I crossed. I didn't know the bus was coming. As I stepped in the center of the road, the bus, the guy that he saw me walk. He didn't know I was planning to cross. I just walked into it. I didn't know it was coming from my back. I was looking at the traffic. I thought they were coming from that side. I still remember. Now, I'm coming to something. So the driver swerved. One sharp one, so he wouldn't hit me. And the conductor came out like, as if, hey, this Lagos is wonderful. This guy don't craze for inside this Lagos. That's why he was looking at me. I remember I just waved to him to apologize, say sorry. And I remember I thought to myself, I can't die now. You just saved your boss. I'm not going to die now. It's for your sake you swerved. If I not swerve, and now your boss will be dead, I'll be alive. It's a mindset. I'm saying you, the way you interpret events in life will differ. It will differ. When you recognize the way God sees you. God was so angry. I told you, look, sin is not, I stole somebody's money, I look where I'm not supposed to look. Sin is God says this is okay, and you say a lie. As God said, and they say God said, he said a lie. You will not surely die. You are calling God a liar. Are you getting my point? So when God told children of Israel, you can take the land. They say, we can't take it. I said, you can take the land. They say, we can't take it. So he killed everybody in the wilderness. You don't disagree with God and go scot-free. Not lie. Even about yourself. God says, you're intelligent. You say, no, I'm stupid. You're intelligent. I say, I'm stupid. I'm intelligent. I'm wow on your head. Did you hear what I was saying? Go and read Ken Hagin's story. He said, the Lord appeared to give him an anointing and said, when you pray for people like this, the demons will go. So he prayed for one man. The man had a stiff back. And there's a way, I don't have to tell the story, but once he put his hand on the person, he will know there's an evil spirit there, and he will cast out the spirit, and the Lord told him that the spirit will go away. So he prayed for this man and said, okay, let's check whether the thing has worked, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, he tried a number of times, so he told the man to go. The man was not healed. And then he just had a vision, and the Lord appeared to him again and said to him, I said it will go. And he said, but it didn't go. The Lord said to him, I said it will go. He said, but it didn't go. You were there. We all saw it. It didn't go. So the Lord said to him, I think a third or fourth time. He said, by this time around, his eyes were virtually emitting fire. And said, I said it will go. And it disappeared. He didn't explain nothing. Just, I said it will go. And he said, so that one, thorough confusion. He said it will go, but it did not go. Now he's insisting that he said it will go. And I'm aware he said it will go. And I remember when he said it will go. But all of you saw it. It did not go. Then suddenly he got the issue. He called the man back. Prayed for the man. The thing went over. He went over the whole process again. Cast out the demon in the name of Jesus Christ. And this time when I told the man, now you are healed. Bend down and touch your toes. There was no question. And the man bent down. Instantly he was healed totally. Because the Lord said, it will go. You don't disagree with him. That's the point I'm making. If he says you're a good man, accept it. Don't say, I just try. That can end you a dirty slap. If he says you are successful, accept it. Don't say, you see, it's success. The last two businesses collapsed. Success, score. Success, need. Your head will soon collapse. You don't disagree with him like that. After you have lost all the money, get to that mirror again and say, soul, God has made you successful in Christ Jesus. That's it. And you can go and sleep. Never, ever, ever disagree with God's perspective concerning your life. I hope you got my point today.